Christina, and we are experiencing
Love Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophy, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Hi, this is Samara Luna. We've been experiencing some technical difficulties getting the show started. Blog Talk Radio didn't want to let us call in. So we are now live, I believe.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Yeah, we have been trying multiple phone numbers and trying to get the board working. And so hopefully those of you that are in chat saw where I posted that we were having technical difficulties. And we finally are on. So, Ravenfly.
Hello, everybody.
You made it on.
Yes, yeah. And our guest made it on, too. So, that's... Whew. I am here.
It seems like our last... This is our third show in a row that we've done over the last 3 weeks that we have had technical difficulties every time. So I don't know what gremlins are going on with Blog Talk, but they aren't happy.
Yeah, maybe we need to set out some need for the Blog Talk gremlins or something.
Make some offerings.
Maybe that'll make the Blog Talk gremlins go away.
It does seem to help.
Okay.
So let's get started.
Okay. Awesome. Well, the topic of tonight's show is tribalism, both tribalism and neo-tribalism and kind of inside and outside heathenry. It's a little bit different perspective on groups and how people form groups. And we have the wonderful privilege of being joined by Stephanie Sinclair, who is a member of the Louisville Area Austria Group. So, welcome, Stephanie.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I've got a little bit of strep throat, but on antibiotics, we're good, so you have to bear with me.
Oh, that's okay. I'm getting over it, too. I didn't have strep, but I had bronchitis. Of course, they didn't really test me for strep.
I'm doing okay other than that. I was real excited about doing the show on tribalism because it's definitely it's a very old but newer movement within the heathen community. It's something that I've been interested in for a while. So I'll go ahead and let you guys start shooting questions, whatever you guys want me to talk about. I have an outline. But what do you want me to start with?
I guess just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your path. And
Sure. Well, my name is Stephanie. Some people know me as Sufa Karaka, which is actually means whimsical crow in Old Norse. I've been Alcatur since around the summer of 2001. That's a long story for another day. I'm actually the Hoth Yithia, which basically is the Hoth priestess of Thrima Bruna, which is a Theot. I've been doing that since about 2007 when we officially formed. The Theos is basically a tribe. It kind of translates roughly to folk or people. The Thrima Bruna, it means thundering well. And we derive that from kind of like the well of the mirror and basically where all the old knowledge is stored. A Hoth is a place of worship within, and it's also a heathen community dwelling as well. We're a small tribe. We consist of a few hearths, basically a few families. My husband and I run the Hoth out of our home at this point. We have a lot of extended friends and guests that come, and they're always welcome to join us for our holidays and more studies. Our Hof is dedicated not only to our ancestors, but also to the local land whites, and to Odin and Frigg. Personally, I'm an Odin's woman. I discovered that really early on in my journey. And when I say that, what I mean is basically my life path very much involves the pursuit of wisdom via life experiences, many of which were not all that pleasant during the time, especially during younger years, but I've learned from them, and that's the point. As I've gotten older, those lessons, even though they were painful, they make a lot more sense now. I wouldn't trade those experiences for anything. As I've gotten older, I've found myself a bit more drawn to Frigg as an inspirational deity. My life path has gone, obviously, from that really youthful and this adventurous type of personality to a much more settled, introspective state of mind. I tend to focus more of my energy on the hearth these days than I do on those wild adventures. And that, of course, has brought me a lot closer to the Dísir, which are the female ancestral spirits. Let's see here. When I first started looking into Alfatru, it really hit home for me. My maternal grandmother is from Iceland, so it was really like a homecoming. Since beginning on this path, I never really subscribed what is viewed as traditional Alfatru in America. I've always kind of more related to the tribalism or the tribalistic beliefs. You see that a lot more predominantly over in the European countries. I've always did things a little differently. And I would find a few things I liked here and would combine them with the things I liked over there and so on. And that's really what is the beauty of tribalism, is that you have the ability to pick and choose what works for you and your tribe and your kids and your kin. So that's kind of the beauty of it. My personal studies are focused on Iceland. I can relate to the terms Alfatru when taking it from more of the Icelandic Alfatru movement. And they are far more community-based, which is what that's what I hope to foster within our Hof, is more of the community-based. I don't personally relate to folkishness, nor do I relate to the universalist theories. A very good friend of mine, Waylon, put it best up on his webpage. He says that the universalist and the folkish practitioners are the two extremes, with the more reasonable center being tribalism. Just to keep in mind, I'm not a historian, and I'm actually a registered nurse and a freelance artist, so I'm more than happy to share my experiences, but a lot... You know, I read a lot of books, but I'm no way a scholar, so just to throw that out there.
So,
go ahead.
Can you kind of tell our listeners what tribalism is? Because I know it's a kind of something that's, for some of our listeners, they're not familiar with.
Well, tribalism, I mean, if you're looking at kind of a dictionary definition, you're looking at like a social group compromising of clans and generations, et cetera, et cetera. Groups that have a similar character, occupation, or interest. Tribalism being more that consciousness to the tribe. The tribalism and neo-tribalism, I've seen it applied to a lot of old world spiritual belief systems. Kind of what's really neat about it too. Obviously, you don't have to be Norse, you don't have to be heathen, you don't have to be, it can be, I mean, there's so many cultures that really can derive from tribalism. Now, I can't go and speak for some of the other forms of tribalism, but I can say, you know, if you look far back enough in history, you're going to find a tribal mindset or a base within that culture, which is really neat. And I think that's something that we're fundamentally really missing in our culture today. I mean, we live in this Western culture that's just hurried, 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 work, 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 work. We barely have time for our own personal families, much less a larger community, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So tribalism is kind of more that, you know, that drive to get back to what matters, back to community. And how you define that community or what that lifeline is very different from group to group. You know, there's so many different ways that they could describe that. Our thing is we have a similar common theology as far as we have similar spiritual beliefs. We have similar moral ethic, that type of a thing going on, which is what has really driven us to form the bonds that we have. And I think that that's really what it boils down to, is forming those bonds and forming that loyalty to those people that you consider your tribe. There's no written text on exactly what is or isn't a tribe, aside from like generic definitions and things like that. It's really what the people come together and they start to put their minds together and start to really think what really works for us as a group, you know, and that's kind of the beauty of it.
So how would you say tribalism differs from other ways of forming groups? Like, you know, you hear of circles and kindreds and groves, mm-hmm. and different
Absolutely.
Other ways that groups are formed. How is tribalism different in that way?
Now, this is based on my experience, but the things that I've learned was, and you know, I've seen groves, I've seen kindreds, I've seen circles, whatever you want to call them, that have very strong personal bonds with each other, and that's wonderful. That is kind of what I define as tribalism, though, is that deep bond that you have with other people. I had to think about that question a lot, and it really goes back to that loyalty that was mentioned in that last question. Something that differentiates tribalism from other formations of group, I feel, is the loyalty and bonds between those of a tribe. And I've heard circles and different, you know, different spiritual groups really say, hey, we're like a tribe. And they really are. You know, it doesn't have to be defined as a tribe. It's really the big difference is it took us years to form the solid bonds that we've made within the tribe that we have. It was not an overnight process. Some of us, you know, as far as you're looking at heathenism, I've seen a lot of kindreds, they, you know, oathing in and all this other stuff. And we don't tend to do that. And honestly, we don't need to do that. We've been together for years and, you know, the bond is so deep. We really don't have to have that formality. I've seen kindreds do that. You know, they'll get together and within 2 weeks they're all oathing into each other. And to me, that really is, I look at oathing like marriage. Not like marriage as in a romantic relationship, but as in you should take it just as seriously. Do you see what I'm saying? And I think mm-hmm. a lot of people jump the gun and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I get to be a part of this group. And then, like, 3 years later, it doesn't work out so well for them, you know. So there's that type of a thing, too, going on. You know, it's taken, like I said, it's taken us years to really form the bonds we have with each other. Trying to think what else. You know, and for me, it's really important with the whole oathing thing. I want people to know, you know, as far as even the people who are core within in our group, they can come and go as need be. People change. They grow. I don't want anyone to ever feel oath bound that they couldn't take a different path without being resentful or anything like that, because you run into a lot of that, too, with some of these oath groups and things like that. I think what else?
So, like with oathing, you said that is as important to you as marriage. Can you kind of explain that to people who aren't used to that concept?
Yeah, the oaths are basically, you know, that's derived from the blood oaths that were taken back in the old days where people would oath on something, whether it's mentioned in Beowulf. That basically people would oath on something, swear brotherhood, sisterhood, things like that. And basically what they were doing, they were making an oath. They were tying their weird, you know, basically they were tying their weird together. And that meant what you do affects me, what I do affects you, and that kind of a thing. And that's where I'm saying a lot of people are jumping the gun. They don't take it as seriously as it ought to be. I've been guilty of that in the past, too. But, you know, as I've grown older, I've learned, no, this is, you know, that's serious stuff, and that's something that I do not just jump on. And that goes into, if you're looking at within our cosmology, basically you're looking at the whole concept of weird and Orlog. For those that are unfamiliar with weird, it's a Saxon term. And it's used by a lot of heathen groups. We use it as well. And that essentially embodies the collection of actions both present and even past, way back in your ancestral past, to produce a result. It's really, its root meaning is to turn. One of my favorite quotes, keeping quotes, is "We are at ease." And it's believed by a lot of people that the weird of the tribe exists just as much as the weird of the individual. And the weird, in turn, rises to Orlog or luck. And if you have right actions or deeds, you have good outcome. And that's the difference between, like, with the cosmology within the Norse. It's a lot of cause and effect. You know, we break it down, and it's like there's the three Norns. And some people think that those are, like, the Greek fates, and it's really not. It's a little bit different with us. We don't simply have past, present, and future. We have Yurd, which is what has been, basically what's done is done, and then you have Gordondi, which presently is what is, and this is where we can change the action or the outcomes of our actions. And then you have Skuld, which is basically debt, or that which will become. In other words, you've got the result of your past and present actions, and that is the debt, or that is what is owed. And depending on those actions depends on, is that a good result or a bad result? But that's like okay. A very short lesson in Norse cosmology. So.
So what values are important in tribalism, and kind of what effect do they have on the dynamic within your group?
I kind of went over that just a second ago, but tribalism you have, it's really open because you kind of forge your own values. Speaking of terms of heathen tribal beliefs, a lot of our values are based on the values of our ancestors. So many of us didn't have the luxury of being brought up in a tribal community, so we kind of look to our history to find those answers. As I stated before, a lot of my influence is Icelandic. I was fortunate enough to have my Amma, who taught me quite a bit about Icelandic culture and history. And that's played a huge part in forming our tribe. And as you know, with the discussion on weird, we've adopted some of the more modern popular heathen belief systems as well, or just some of the different incorporations into there. We're still learning a lot, you know. There's a professor, I've got this right here. There's a professor, his name is Gunnar Carlson, and he states in his book, and it's Iceland's 1,100 years, that it's not easy, and this is his quote, to say with any certainty, and this is referring to Icelandic paganism, what it consisted of. Unlike Greeks and Romans, the Germanic peoples of Europe did not become literate, apart from the minor use of runic inscriptions on stones and sticks, until they adopted Christianity. Practically all written descriptions of pre-Christian religion among the Germanic people are written by Christians, and therefore may be either colored by blind antagonism or influenced by Christian ritual. So there's something to keep in mind. Basically, what that means is that, you know, we're looking to a lot of archaeology, and more is being revealed, which is a beautiful thing. You know, while I personally believe there's obviously some truths in the written text, I also think that a lot more of the history is being revealed through the actual digs and the actual archaeology that was there that's pre-Christian, pre-written history. So that's kind of where I'm at with that, because a lot more is being revealed. I mean, I've been human since, you know, 01, and I have seen so much change every year. You know, more and more is getting revealed by scholars, more and more archaeological digs. So we're really forging a lot of new ways based on some very old things that seem to be lost for so long.
So, yeah, and the other thing that, like, in a lot of the stuff that I've read on history and whatnot, a lot of the old mythology there's very much an emphasis on it being orally handed down, like to be able to memorize. all, you know, all the stories, all the sagas, you know, whoever the lore keeper was in that group had to have everything memorized, and it was never put to paper. But that person would have all these years.
And that's so, that essence of that tribal system, so many of those tribal systems, you know, it was spoken lore, it was spoken tradition. I mean, that's almost, there are so many cultures where it was basically like that before they really started, you know, coming in and writing things down. And I'm not a historian, so, you know, I speculate that started somewhere in probably, you know, Egypt or whatever. But the thing is that, you know, the Germanic tribes, I mean, it was very much a spoken word. It was oral tradition. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot that was lost and a lot that we're not sure of. So, you know, that's kind of the thing, is where we're very much reconstructing a very old way. And we have these little bits and pieces of the puzzle. And that's kind of where the tribalism comes in, because, you know, we're living in the year 2013. So it's kind of like, okay, so where do we incorporate these things into the modern? You see what I'm saying? And for us, it's like doing that, you know, and what we've been doing is kind of we focus on studies, we look at the archaeology, and then we have our celebrations that we have. And those are pretty universal among other human groups. There's the four main ones. And then we work towards defining ourselves spiritually via our studies and things like that. Homesteading is becoming a really big thing. My personal thing is raising chickens. Craft is becoming a huge thing. And, you know, building our sense of community. And that's kind of what it's about, is really living this stuff, especially now, because, I mean, you can't necessarily go all back in time. But in the same sense, you know, you want to embrace those old things that we've lost. And I think that's really kind of what the drive is with that, because I see a lot of different spiritual belief systems doing this. They're wanting to reach back into their history, because I think that, you know, a lot of things have been lost in just the Western world now. And we're kind of starved for that. We're starved for that community.
I'm going to jump in just for a second and let everyone know that Serenity is now with us.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
So, and I also want to jump in. I noticed that we do have a few callers that have called in that they probably just called in to listen, but I just want to remind them that if you do want to have any questions or talk on the air, make sure to press 1 so that we know that you want to talk on the air. So, okay, I'm sorry. Now that I'm done interrupting, go on.
Well, did you have any questions, Samara? Since you're
not at
yeah.
the moment. I'm good for right now.
Okay. So, what kind of rituals and practices are important, especially to like your all's group, and why are they so important to you? I know there's this focus on these deep group bonds, and I was kind of wondering what sort of things are important to you all because of that.
Things that are important, and, you know, we started by basically celebrating some of the more traditional holidays, which is basically your summer finding, which some people call Ostara. You've got midsummer, and then you've got, you know, your winter's finding, and then you had Yule. We kind of started with that, and it was kind of funny because we've all kind of coupled up, and it, like, you know, I've got my husband, my best friend's got her husband, and then we've got another friend it's just grown, and then there's kids involved now. It's amazing how much it's grown. But you know, it was just mainly started that we were studying together and we were practicing together, and we did a lot of stuff together, you know. For example, this last summer, I mean, my husband and my best friend's husband, they tilled up the entire backyard planting grass. I know that sounds like, well, okay, whatever, but it was like the big ordeal. And you know, but those type of things that kind of bond you, you know, and you work together towards a common goal. And I think that's kind of the the base essence of tribalism, you know, is that you're working towards a common goal. Ultimately, we'd love to have a huge plot of property divided into some sections and then have, like, the central common ground, a hoff and some farming, you know, and work on that together, work towards the goal. I think that would be really an amazing experience.
So with your you all had kids form into your groups now. How do you all handle, like, bringing up your children in this tradition?
You know, honestly, I bring my kids up more by example than anything else. I personally have not pushed anything onto my kids. You know, I kind of let them make their own decisions spiritually. If they want to participate, they participate. If they don't want to participate, they don't participate. It's kind of one of those things where I really feel like that's going to be their decision in life. Now, obviously we'll include them in anything that they want to be a part of, but that's not something that I feel should be pushed on them. They help with the homesteading. They help with the chickens. They help with the, you know, things like that. My son, he's real interested in heathenry. He loves to go out or eat thunderstorm. We have to hear Hail Thor 500 times.
Yeah,
my daughter,
I've been to Bloat for that. He's all about Hail Thor.
Absolutely. You know, and my daughter, on the other hand, she just kind of sits back and watches. You know, she loves to help with the chickens. She loves to help with all that kind of stuff. She gets kind of shy, you know, when it comes to, like, the some bowl or anything else. But I don't push that on them, you know. I feel like that's their choice. And that's ultimately something they'll come to as they get older.
So, real quick, we need to take a quick break. And
yes, we do.
Do you have any music up in the queue, Samara?
Actually, I do. I thought since we were talking about, you know, groups and circles and everything, I am going to, if this is the song I think it is, it may not actually be about a group. It might just be about, you know, casting a circle. But I was going to play the Wendy Roll the Circle song, just because I'm not positive which one it is. So we're going to see. So here we are, Wendy Roll the Circle song.
Oh, My Mystic Gems offers a unique and unusual variety of vintage and modern jewelry items. My handcrafted creations include steampunk jewelry, crystal and elemental designs, cosplay accessories, wish wands, and beautiful bullets, my signature line of piece jewelry. My designs are perfect for all gift occasions, including holidays, birthdays, and anniversaries, as well as bridesmaids and groomsmen's gifts for weddings. I do offer custom pieces and will work with you to create something special just for you. Visit my website at mymysticgems.com to find links to both my Etsy and Artfire stores online. You can contact me at mymysticgems@gmail.com.
We will now open the crystal lab. Let us find a comfortable position. Imagine with me the sleeping crystals in the web. All over the world, hundreds, thousands of crystals buried in the earth or otherwise linked into the web, all sleeping in their cubes of white light. Cubes of light which slowly spin clockwise around the crystals they encase. Let us call into ourselves the energy of the universe. Let us open ourselves to the energy of the universe and imagine the energy coming down into us. A beautiful, clear, white light coming down into us through the crown of our head. A beautiful, clear, white light full of strength and joy and love. This is the light of spirit, the light of being, the light from which all things are made. Let that beautiful, clear, white light enter you and fill you. Let it go into every part of your body. Let it suffuse you. Let it move within you. Be one with the light. Feel its power. Feel its strength. Feel its love. Now imagine that light most strongly in your heart chakra. Feel the light within your heart. Feel it growing stronger and brighter within you. Stronger and brighter and brighter and stronger. Seeing it shining out from your heart like a white sun within you. Now from your heart, send out a beam of white light to your crystal access point. See that beam of light go out to your access point, no matter how close or far your access point may be. See the beam of light from your heart connect to the access point. See the light flow from your heart through the beam and into the cube of light surrounding your crystal. See the cube of light begin to glow within the white light from your heart. See the cube grow brighter. See it spin faster. Send more and more light from your heart into the cube. See it spin faster and faster. See the cube transform into a tetrahedron, a triangle of spinning light, spinning clockwise around your access crystal. The access point is now open. Continue to send light from your heart into your access point. And in that light, let us set our intent. Divine Mother Goddess, Divine Father God, beloved ancestors, we pray that you will help us to send this energy in love and trust, that the changes which are unfolding shall take the most positive and peaceful form possible, if it be in accordance with the free will and highest purposes of all. Beloved ones, may it be so. Now see that light spread out from your crystal, traveling along the lines of the web to join with other crystals. See the light spreading through the whole of the web, illuminating it across the globe. Continue to send light from your heart into your access point, and from your access point throughout the web. And may the guardians of the web anchor and direct this energy for the highest good, by our will so mote it be.
So mote it be.
And now let the image fade from your mind. It will continue forward without our further attention. And let us take a moment to clear and release all excess energy, keeping what we need and letting any excess release, be it flowing out of you like water, returning to the universe.
And we are back.
You're bringing light. Been in the darkness for too long. Yeah, bringing in light. dropping the worry, I'm dropping the shame, I'm dropping the guilt, I'm dropping the blame, I'm dropping the walls, I'm dropping the windows, dropping the doors. I'm dropping who's wrong, I'm dropping who's right, I'm dropping my put 'em up and fight. I'm dropping the roof, I'm dropping the porch, I'm dropping the floors. And I'm bringing in the light, been in the darkness for too long. And I'm bringing in the light, bringing in the light by the way of the song. It's the love I give to do happiness. Bringing in the joy, bringing in the light, bringing in the bliss. I'm dropping the plan, I'm dropping the plot, I'm dropping the twist me up in knots. I'm dropping the past, prevailing over what's in store. I'm dropping the scarcity of enough, I'm dropping that constellated stuff. I'm dropping the points, I'm dropping the game, I'm dropping the score. And I'm bringing in the light, been in the darkness for too long. Yeah, I'm bringing in the
My Mystic Gems offers a unique and unusual variety of vintage and modern jewelry items. My handcrafted creations include steampunk jewelry, crystal and elemental designs, cosplay accessories, wish wands, and beautiful bullets, my signature line of piece jewelry. My designs are perfect for all gift occasions, including holidays, birthdays, and anniversaries, as well as bridesmaids and groomsmen's gifts for weddings. I do offer custom pieces and will work with you to create something special just for you. Visit my website at mymysticgems.com to find links to both my Etsy and Artfire stores online. You can contact me at mymysticgems@gmail.com.
And I believe...
We won't wait any longer. We are stronger than before. We won't wait any longer. We are stronger. We have trusted no man's promise. We have kept to just ourselves. We have suffered from the lies in all the books upon your shelves. And our patience and endurance through the burning times and now have given us the strength to keep our vow. We won't wait any longer. We are stronger. Raised away the heather and have raised the sacred grove. You have driven native peoples from the places that they love. Though your greed has been unbounded, you have felt the pangs of shame every time you trod upon the mother's name. We won't wait any longer. We are stronger. Had destroyed the memory of the ancient way. Still the people light the pale fire every year on Solstice Day. And on Beltane Eve and Samhain, you can find us on the hill, invoking once again the triple will. We won't wait any longer. We are stronger. But dispersed among the nations of the world, we linger on. Now the time has come to take the sacred cauldron of rebirth and fulfill our ancient pledges to the earth. We won't wait any longer. We are stronger.
In a moment, I'll bring Stephanie back on. We wanted to remind you about a couple things coming up. Next week, we're going to be talking about Beltane across the traditions, May 1st, and what it means across different traditions. Also coming up, we will have, after the week after that, we'll have a Heathen Perspective episode on our Galway. And then the week after that, we are actually going to be doing a live show from Pagan Unity Festival, which is something we are looking very, very much forward to. So let me see if I can get Stephanie back on with us. Stephanie, are you there? Okay. I guess not. I guess what I'm going to do here real quick, I know, play another song. Hopefully we can get this technical issue fixed really, really quickly. I am going to play Scotland the Brave. Thank you.
soldiers three, pardon and wash your booze all free. Lately come forth from the low country with never a penny of money.
Dropping who's right, I'm dropping my put 'em up and fight. I'm dropping the roof, I'm dropping the porch, I'm dropping the floors. And I'm bringing in the light, been in the darkness for too long. I'm bringing in the light, bringing in the light by the way of the song. It's the love I give to do happiness. Bringing in the joy, bringing in the light, bringing in the bliss. I'm dropping the plan, I'm dropping the plot, I'm dropping the twist me up in knots. I'm dropping the past prevailing over what's in store. I'm dropping the scarcity of enough, I'm dropping that constellated stuff. I'm dropping the points, I'm dropping the game, I'm dropping the score. And I'm bringing in the light.